Hey everybody, welcome to the Calm Christian Parenting Podcast. This is Kirk Martin. I am founder of Celebrate Calm. If you want to find out about us, go to celebratecalm.com and you can read more about us. Hey, welcome. I'm glad you're here. And my assumption is if you are here, it's because you probably have a strong-willed child, whatever you want to term that, challenging, difficult, pain in the butt, gift from God. Whatever you want to call that child, I do believe they're a gift from God because they work out all of your imperfections and all of your control issues and your anxiety that you have. These kids are awesome, but they are difficult to raise. And everything that you have tried doesn't work with these kids, right? Like everything that works, how many of you had a more compliant child first? And you were like, oh, we're such good parents. And then you had the challenging, strong-willed child, and you're like, we don't know anything anymore. Because everything you do with the compliant child tends to backfire with the more challenging child, right? Like some of you actually tried to give your kids Benadryl to try to knock them out to go to sleep. Guess what? It'll keep them, the strong-willed child, up all night. So it doesn't work, and so you're probably here. And so I'm glad you're here, because we love the strong-willed kids, and I want to show you how you can have a very, very close relationship with the strong-willed child, how you can get them to actually listen to you without destroying your relationship, without threatening, because good discipline will always lead to a closer, more trusting relationship. And in a lot of Christian homes, and part of the reason we're doing this is this, we have an organization that's called Celebrate Calm. We already have a Calm Parenting Podcast. It's really good. And I encourage you to check it out because I've already done, 50, 70, 100 episodes on all kinds of different topics. But I want to do this one and focus on for my Christian friends so that we can get a little bit deeper from the spiritual aspect. Couple caveats. One is you may find me annoying, and I'm okay with that. I'm 53. I kind of know who I am now. I will not always present things the way that you may expect me to present them. My point of view, and I'll try to back it up with scripture, is sometimes very different than the traditional Christian view on raising your kids. And all I would ask is that you would wrestle with these ideas. I'm okay with you being resistant. You should be resistant to new things. And you're going to wrestle with it and be like, oh, are we letting this child get away with things? Like, right? Like, shouldn't we just be bringing the hammer down all the time? Right? We'll do a mix of, there's a time for the hammer, there's a time for other methods, but what I want is what works and what reflects the heart of God, right? And so that's why I'm doing this, so that we can get into kind of the heart of God into this. And I'd ask you to always think, as a parent, when you're disciplining, when you're doing anything else, look, am I actually teaching the child something? Because that's what the word discipline means. It means literally, well, it literally means to disciple, right? Which if you really take that to heart, the best way to disciple someone is to live out your life in front of them and let you see them live it. It's not about lecturing them all the time. So am I teaching my child something? And am I showing them a different way to do it next time? Because just saying like, go to your room right now, or just taking things away, doesn't really show them a different way to change their behavior next time. And then the third question I always ask is it leading me to a closer, more trusting relationship with my child? Because I believe that when God disciplines us, right, it can be a little bit tough at first, but it's always done in a way that brings us closer to Him. And what I've noticed, unfortunately, in a lot of Christian homes is that the discipline actually sends your kids away from you. And there's a divide there. Well, he's either going to start doing it my way, or we're just not going to have a relationship. That's what a lot of dads end up saying. That's what I used to say. And I don't think that's right. So anyway, let's talk about the strong-willed kids so you know if you're in the right place or not. Strong-willed kids in general, this is how we describe them. They tend to be very bright kids. They're smart. They're not always academically motivated, but they're really bright. They just tend to use their intelligence to argue with you because they can't remember anything you ask them to do, but they will remember every single inconsistency and thing that you said that they can use against you, because they're kind of like little judges, cops, and attorneys all rolled into one beautiful little package. They tend not to sleep at night. Why? anxiety issues. We'll get to that a little bit. I've done a lot of that on the Calm Parenting podcast. Some of it is they're just sitting up all night thinking of ways of getting out of doing things. You know why? Because when these kids wake up in the morning, they have an agenda. They know what they want and they know what they don't want. And what they don't want is anything that you want them to do. So there are going to be power struggles with these kids. And you are going to spend their entire childhood saying this: if you would just do what I asked you to do, you would be done in 7 minutes. But you'd rather argue with me for 7 hours or days or weeks or years and lose everything you own. Anybody have those kids, right? How many of you have noticed these kids don't care about consequences? It doesn't work with them. You can tell them, I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap. And they'll say, oh, could we use Irish Spring? How many of you have noticed they will choose the more difficult path? It would be so much easier if they would just do it the way you want them to do it, but they're not going to do it your way. And this is what you're going to have to wrestle with, because you're going to say, these kids only want to do things on their own terms. They're rebellious. They're defiant. And sometimes they are. But you know what they usually are is? They're usually very frustrated kids. And look, part of my tone in this is we'll have a lot of fun, but I'm going to be very, very tough on you. Because, and sometimes I will say things in kind of a harsh way because I want to spur some thought. I want to shake you up a little bit to see things in a different way. I guarantee you that that child that you think is so rebellious and difficult is a really frustrated kid. Look, if I've got a rebellious kid, what am I going to do with that kid? What, take away everything he owns? You already did that. It doesn't work. It hasn't worked. It won't work. I can't fix a kid like that. But if I have a child that I know is very frustrated, and I can give you 100 reasons why they're frustrated, part of which is they're made an entirely different way, and it feels like they're swimming upstream in life, and nothing they ever do is good enough for you or their teachers or anybody else, and so they're very frustrated because they're very bright, but they don't get to own their lives anymore because we suffocate them all the time, and they don't have any space to figure stuff out on their own. And so these are very frustrated kids. And out of their frustration, they will shut down. They will defy you. They will call you awful names. How many of you have noticed these are kids who will call you a nasty name and turn around and do something extraordinarily thoughtful and sweet because they have very big hearts. They're very tender, just not towards you. Because how many of you have noticed these kids are awesome for other adults, but horrible in your home? Hold it together all day at school, perhaps, for the teachers. Unload on you. This is who we're talking about. You're going to struggle because these kids are not going to do things the way you want them done. And I usually, when we're giving our live workshops, because we speak at schools and churches, we speak at synagogues, doesn't matter to me, homeschool conventions, we speak everywhere. All over the world we've done this, and parents all over the world struggle with the same things because human nature doesn't really change. This has been around since the beginning of time. And if you don't believe that, listen to one of the podcasts you're going to see on there. And it's on first-time obedience. And you're going to see it in Luke 15 in the story of the prodigal son. This is nothing new, right? It's not because our parenting is bad. It's not because our food supply is ruined and poisoned, which it is. It's been around since the beginning of time. So when we talk about siblings, just an aside, I always try to make this joke just to let parents know. Look, if your two siblings are fighting or three are fighting, good, it's normal. Because guess what the first family was like? Adam and Eve have two kids, Cain and Abel. One of the first two kids was a murderer. And that was before there were video games and guns and everything else. It's human nature we're talking about. And this is the way these kids are made. And so if you hang in here with me and you listen to the podcast and you go through our different programs, you will learn how to enjoy these strong-willed kids. You will learn how to discipline them in ways that really work. You will learn how to give them tools to succeed instead of always punishing failure. You will learn how to motivate them. And at the end of the day, you will enjoy your strong-willed child and have a close relationship with that child. And that's what we want. So, because it's the first podcast, I want to give you a little background, and so hopefully you can relate to some of this. My dad was career military. He was known in our home as the Colonel, so it was a ton of fun growing up. So my son has four boys. What is my dad's discipline method? Fear and intimidation, my way or the highway approach. Why? Because that's what he learned from his dad, who learned it from his dad, who learned it from his dad. So guess what? My dad's four sons, one of which is me, we grow up, and guess what? We all get married and we start having kids. Come home every night from work. Why are Legos all over the floor? Why can't you ever pick up anything? And now watch what happens. We are creating chaos in our homes. And we are now, I would put my wife in the position where she had to control my emotions for me because I couldn't control them myself. And I would come in and I'd start getting on Casey. Casey is our son. If you ever write to us or call us, you will talk to our son Casey, because he basically runs the business now, and he was extremely strong-willed child, extremely and very difficult. It's everything I've described and everything I will describe is from Casey. And so I would come in and start yelling at him. Now my wife had to decide, well, do I step in and protect my son? But if I do that, am I undermining my husband's authority? That's a brutal thing to do to your spouse, and I did it to mine. So guess what? I always say this at the live events. I don't care if you're 6'4", 250 as a man. I'm putting $150 on your six-year-old because he will own you. Because you're my way or the highway approach, tough approach with these kids. And we will do a tough approach, but that my way or the highway approach, me being angry and just trying to threaten and do intimidation, doesn't work with these kids. Neither does the really soft, really timid approach. We call them sweetie and baby. It doesn't work with these kids. So hang in here. We're going to teach you how to do this stuff. But so here's what happened. Created a lot of chaos in our home. And so my wife had to walk on eggshells. My son had to walk on eggshells because what dad is coming home tonight, right? The dad who's kind of in control of himself and can like play with his kids, or the one who's just frustrated and wants everybody else to change. So I start going for these walks, right? And that's how I talk to God. And again, you're not always going to like what you hear from me, and my relationship with God may sound very different from the way that you relate to God, and that's okay because we're different people. But I'm not really great at like sitting down and praying. I tend to fall asleep, so I go for walks. I go for early morning walks. It's how I connect with God because everything's quiet, and I'm walking and I'm moving. For whatever reason, I put a little bit of worship music in and I go for a walk. It's awesome. It's how I connect with God a little bit better. So I'm going for these long walks back then. This is 20 years ago, because Casey's 26 now, he's 27. And so I had spent the first 6, 7, 8 years of his life trying to change him, trying to fix him. So I go for these walks with God. I'm like, God, you got to do something about this kid. He's difficult. Why did he just listen to me? He needs to listen to me. He needs to respect me. And I start hearing this still small voice asking me these questions. First question, what if your son is created like this, made like this, wired like this on purpose? Second question, what if by trying to change your son, you are frustrating my purposes for your son? Oh, that'll send a shudder through you. Because now you're messing with the master plan. And look, I am very tough on people. We don't do blame and we don't do guilt. But I want things to sting sometimes so that we can just own it and we can own it. You know what it is sometimes? It is this child has been given to you by God, not for it's to love him and do all those things, but this child is going to provoke all kinds of immaturity and nastiness inside of you. And sometimes when I was going for those walks, change my son, why can't he do it? And God's asking me like, well, what if you're frustrating my purposes for him? You know what he was really saying? What if you are frustrating my purposes because that son makes you very uncomfortable? And that son is so much like you, or in some of your cases, that son is so different from you, and that's provoking you because you have control issues and you have anxiety issues and you have perfectionism issues and you can't even control yourself. So the third question I heard was, what if instead of trying to change your son, you're the one who needs to change? And that hit me like a ton of bricks, and I ignored it because I'm a man. Men often live in denial. I don't have anger issues. Sure you don't, right? So I ignored that voice. Thought it was from the devil, right? And it kept coming back. What if instead of trying to change your son, you're the one who needs to change? And again, Go back and read scripture sometime, right? Before you try to take the little tiny speck out of your neighbor's, your brother's eye, why don't you work on that big fat log right in the middle of your own eye? Why? Because it's no fun working on yourself. I don't want to change. I would rather judge other people. I would rather talk to all my friends about that other parent and that other person. You know, have you heard about that? And that's something the church is awful about. And it's nasty and it's horrible because it, and I'm guilty of it myself. And I've got to watch that because it's so much easier and so much more fun to talk about other people's issues than own up to your own. And say in the midst of that, when one of your friends comes and wants to talk about and pray for that friend of yours, and what it is a secret cloaking of, you fall into a little thing where you're just talking about another person and their issues and the bad decisions they've made and wondering why bad things are happening to them. The best thing you can do is say, you know what, I could have made that choice too. I could have made that choice too. I'm not going to fall into this trap because, man, it is so much easier to talk about that person. And all this time I'm talking about them, there's this big log right in the middle of my own eye that I need to deal with. And so I just encourage you with this. So here's what I learned from this. I started working ruthlessly on changing myself, learning how to control my own emotions, learning how to control my own anxiety, learning to get control of myself because I have a very high need for order and structure. And I guarantee if you're an engineer married to one, you know what this means, because when that engineer comes home from work, if things are not all in a certain place and things don't go exactly as they expect, they freak over it. And that's what I did. And so I started working on controlling myself. And the question we always ask is, how can you expect your kids to control their own emotions and impulses if you can't? Right? And I get emails all the time. We've been doing this for about 20 years. We've talked to almost a million families. And so I get these emails all the time. I get probably 10 or 12 a day sometimes. Sometimes not that much, but some days it's like there's a dozen of them. And it's a mom writing, emailing, because it's usually moms. I'm telling all about the child, and they've got anger issues, and they have trouble, and they get really explosive after school and all these things. And then the final paragraph, the final sentence is, oh, by the way, my husband has anger issues. I'm like, didn't need to read the first 12 paragraphs. We could have gotten right to that. You have to learn, and I'm not just putting this on men. It's all of us have to learn, because some of us talk too much, and we provoke our children to anger because we're talking too much, and it makes them angry. That's my issue. So, big principle, and then I'm going to end this because it's just an overview, and then we'll get into other things in future podcasts. The only person in life that I can control is myself. It's the only person in life I can control is myself. And there's great power in knowing that, because here's the other part of that. The quickest way to change your child's behavior is to first control your own. And we are going to see that. You will hear this throughout. As I change my body posture, it changes my child's reaction. Look, picture this. Picture a mom and her teenage daughter standing in the living room, and mom is standing with her hands on her hips. Think anything good's happening right then? No, right? Picture a child, a parent standing over their child, kind of pointing their finger. Anything good happening? No. Changing your body posture, changing your tone of voice, changing, controlling the anxiety in your voice, right? Because if you wake your child up and went, guys, come on, gotta go for school. How many of you do that? Or guys, gotta go, come on, get in the car. How many of you have noticed the more you try to rush your kids, the slower they go? They're not rejecting you or your authority, they're rejecting your anxiety. Because when you're in anxious mode and you got, okay, fine, I gotta just get in the car, as soon as that tone gets in your voice, you're done. Because that child is not going to listen, they're not going to follow you, because you're not a safe place and you're not leading anymore. You're just demanding and yelling and you're out of control. This is very powerful if you will own this, right? A soft answer turns away wrath. Read through Proverbs. It basically is almost every other proverb is about self-control, right? And the effect that that has. So I encourage you, I'm going to close this up now so we can keep it at about 20 minutes. Thank you for joining us. It's going to be challenging for you, and I'm excited to challenge you because I want the heart of God to come through in Christian parenting, and it doesn't always do that. A lot of times it's a very harsh God that comes through. And we're going to look at how your view of God impacts how you parent your kids. Because if you grew up under a very law-based approach where it's all about your behavior earning acceptance from God, you're probably going to parent your child that way. And it just doesn't work that way. We'll get into that another time. If we can help you, reach out to us. My son's email address, Casey, C-A-S-E-Y, at Celebrate Calm. Not Celebrate Clam. Celebrate Calm. It's not a great name. It's kind of a dumb name. The original name of our organization way back in the late 1990s was Celebrate ADHD. Because I wanted to challenge our assumptions about everything's always negative about ADHD and strong-willed kids, so I wanted to celebrate it because I like challenging things. But over time, we changed it to Celebrate Calm so people think we're some weird like yoga thing. We're not. We do parenting stuff. We do marriage stuff, and it's really, really good. So check out CelebrateCalm.com. We have a free email newsletter that comes to your inbox. We have a Facebook page for those of you who like Facebook. We've got a nice little community there of people who support each other, help each other out. We speak all over the country. Most of our events are free for participants to come and enjoy us. We've got a live events tab on the website. We have all kinds of products on the website. You'll get to know those over time because they're extremely helpful and they'll change your family. But if you need help with that, email Casey. He will give you the best customer service on the planet. And if he doesn't, email or call me. And I will ream him. I'm kidding. I won't have to. You know why? Because he is flawless at helping other people. He's just horrible for us. I'm kidding. He just was like that as a child. But he's awesome now. And here's the upshot of that story. And you'll hear more about Casey and me and our relationship. But after we fought each other for those first 7, 8, 9 years of his life, now we're super tight. And we travel together and we work together. And we fought a lot. But man, we are super close now, and we did that way back then, and I want you to have the same thing with your strong-willed child. So if we can help you out, let us know. Listen to the other podcasts, and thanks for joining us. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.